Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. Seriously, Jesus? I mean, is it just me or does anybody else have a problem with this passage? I mean, I've struggled with this passage for years. I mean, come on, Jesus. Pray for those who persecute me? Are you serious? And then, oh yeah, there's this little kicker at the end of the passage where he says, oh yeah, by the way, be perfect. You know, it's like, thanks for that one. Like I can live up to that standard. Why don't you just ask me to sprout wings and fly to the moon? In a world where the powerful oppress the weak every day, in a world where bullies push kids around in the hallways, where boyfriends slap their girlfriends around just because they're physically stronger, where the rich and powerful people skate above the law while hardworking middle-class people are punished for doing the right thing, where homeless people are arrested simply because they don't have a place to stay. In a world like this, how could we possibly think that Jesus would want us to just roll over and take the abuse, or to allow that kind of abuse to exist in our world? These are pretty big questions, pretty important questions. And I think that if we handle this passage in Matthew 5 properly, we'll see that Jesus has something to say about it. Now, first of all, I want to tell you right off the bat, I don't think that Jesus is actually advocating a doormat theology here, where we just lay back and let people abuse us because we're Christians. I don't think that's what's going on. I think what Jesus is really doing is he's addressing the class system of the society, and he's giving his disciples a framework of how to actually express God's kind of love in a society where there's abuse going on from the haves to the have-nots. And let's face it, every society has a class system, doesn't it? I mean, if you think that our society doesn't have a class system, let's just do a little survey. How many of you pay a mortgage? How many of you have a car payment? How many of you go to work every day so that you could pay said mortgage and car payment? Yeah, guess what? You're a slave. I'm a slave. That's just how it is. There are people more powerful than us in this world. Every one of us in this room has three kinds of people in our lives. We have people who are above us, who have power over us. Maybe it's the bully in the hallway. Maybe it's your creditor or your boss, or it's just the political system that can hurt you if it wants to. And every one of us has people below us on the scale. Our little brother, our employee, or the beggar on the street, someone that we have power over and we could hurt if we wanted to. And then we also have a third kind of person, someone who is outside of our comfort zone, someone who is different than us, and quite frankly, let's just be honest, they scare us. And we often call them our enemies. Well, in our passage today, Jesus teaches us how to love up, how to love down, and how to love out. So let's look at loving up today. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now in Moses' day, remember in the litany we said that he's looking back to the time of Moses. In Moses' day, this law was actually a law against retaliation. Because back then the people of Israel were coming out of Egypt and they were heading to this land called Canaan. And the law of the Canaanites was a law of vengeance. They were like, you looked at my wife, I'm going to burn down your whole village. And they would pay back more than what they had been offended with. And this kind of law just leads to escalation of violence. And isn't that how we are tempted? When somebody hurts us, when somebody abuses us, we just want to pay them back, make them suffer. Well, this law of Moses says, whoa, whoa, that's not how the people of God behave. You see, in God's kingdom, let's just let the punishment fit the crime, shall we? Let's just let it be an eye for an eye. Not a whole village burned down for an eye. You see, in its original intent, in that day, this law was actually about justice as opposed to vengeance. But then, 1,400 years later, in Jesus' day, this law had become distorted in the people's eyes because these very same Israelites were now in a different place in their history. They were now under the oppression of the Romans. The Romans were beating them daily and oppressing them, and the people of Israel couldn't wait to give an eye for an eye. It's like, I can't wait to poke out the Romans' eyes and pull out the Romans' tooth. Ooh! And that's when Jesus teaches them how to love up. How do you love someone who is more powerful than you and abuses you on a regular basis? Well, Jesus says three shocking things here. He says, turn the other cheek, give your cloak, and go the second mile. Now, these might seem arbitrary, like, what's he talking about? But actually, these are three things that are very specific. Because in that culture, these are three ways that powerful people were oppressing weaker people. And I want to demonstrate. The first one I have to demonstrate is I need a volunteer. Oh, thanks, Steve. Come on up. Stephen Hurt here is going to stand right here. Stand there and face me. Okay. Now, Jesus said, "Turn. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek." Now, in that culture, if you were above someone socially, you actually had the right to strike them in the face, and nobody would say anything about it. But you had to do it a certain way. You had to use the back of your right hand and slap them across the face. Now, if I slapped them properly, which cheek would I hit? The right cheek, okay? Now, Jesus said, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. No, yeah. I was waiting for that one. I knew I asked the right guy to come up here. Somehow I don't think that's exactly what he meant. Actually, maybe he did. Let's explore this. So turn this cheek. No, turn this way. Now, if he turns the other cheek to me and I do this, what am I going to hit? His nose. And I'm going to give him a bloody nose. Now, in that culture, that would have been unacceptable for me as his superior to do that, to strike him. So Jesus said, if somebody wants to come up to you and exert their authority over you in an oppressive way and slap you on the cheek, turn your head. Go ahead and turn your head again. What Steve is saying to me is, if you're going to strike me, you have to strike me on this cheek. And the only way I can do that is to do it with the palm of my hand. And in that culture, if I struck him that way, I would be saying, Steve, you are my equal. Isn't that interesting? Let's give him a big hand. Thanks. That's going to be burned in my memory. I just want you to know that. Now, what's this about cloaks? You see, in that day, poor people owned two pieces of clothing total. They had a coat, which was their outer coat, and then they had a cloak, which was basically their underwear. And rich people were taking these poor people to court and suing them for their coat. And the rich people, they had all they needed. They didn't need the coat. And so Jesus says, if somebody is going to take you to court and actually ask you for your coat in this unjust way, you know what? Go ahead and take off your cloak too. And stand naked in front of the court. Would anyone like to volunteer, Steve? You can, to demonstrate this? For, yeah. What Jesus is saying is, expose that for the shameful behavior that it is, oppressing the poor. And then the third thing about going the second mile, it was part of the law that in the Roman soldiers, they had the ability to conscript any person that they wanted to carry a burden for them. And so basically, that's simply bullying. The Roman soldiers could say, hey, you, be my pack mule. Bill, get over here. Bam, I'm going to carry this for me. And you carry it for 1 mile. But the law said that if they forced someone to go more than a mile, then the soldier had broken the law, and they were in trouble. So Jesus smiles and he says, okay, if the next time a Roman soldier comes up to you and bullies you and forces you to carry his pack, don't hate, don't hit back, don't get angry, just smile and say, I would be happy to carry your pack for you, and then walk too. Because that would expose just the silliness of that law and the oppressive nature of the system. You see, Jesus is not advocating a doormat theology. He's not telling his disciples to passively sit there and let people bully them and thus perpetuate an oppressive system. Jesus is advocating passive resistance as opposed to vengeful retaliation. That's how you love up. You don't hate people who oppress you. Because you know the truth is, people who oppress weaker people, much of the time, they don't even know what they're doing. Because it's just part of society. It's just how you do things. You address the system and peacefully expose it for what it is. And I can't help but think of Rosa Parks. Remember her story? Back in the 60s, here she was, just a mild-mannered woman. And simply because her skin was darker than others, she had to sit in the back of the bus. And she got fed up with that oppressive system. And she didn't hate. She didn't act out in rash violence. She didn't slash the tires of the bus. She just went up to the front and sat down in the front of the bus. She turned the other cheek. So loving up is about loving your oppressor. Loving your oppressor enough to expose the oppressive system and to peacefully do something about it. Now, in verse 42, Jesus turns the tables quickly and he addresses the issue of loving down. Jesus says, give to everyone who begs from you and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. This seems a little abrupt, doesn't it, and out of place? But I think what Jesus is doing is he's reminding the people that no matter how bad you think you have it, there is always somebody who is worse off than you. See, now we're looking down. Now the person who was just smacked across the right cheek in public has met someone worse off than them. Because the servant who got smacked in the cheek, at least that servant has clothes and food and shelter, but the beggar has nothing. And let's be honest, why do we struggle with giving to people who beg from us? Oftentimes it's because we feel that that person deserves their place in life. And Jesus reminds us, hey, it is not our place to judge whether or not a person deserves that position. Because by doing that, you're actually elevating yourself above that person in the same way that the person who struck you across the cheek elevated them above you. Just give. Just give to the person simply because that person is a human being created by and loved by God. That's loving down. Now let's look at loving out. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now we read that passage together. Did Leviticus say hate your enemy? It didn't. It just said love your neighbor as yourself. So how in Jesus' day could the Jews have come to this place where they actually believed that God wanted them to hate their enemies? Well, I think it has to do with what Jesus said at the end of the passage. Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And what Jesus is doing is he's connecting that all the way back to Leviticus 19, where God said, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, what does holiness mean? Holiness means being set apart, being different. What God was saying to them in Leviticus was, Israel, I want you to be a different kind of people. I want you to be the kind of people that actually loves justice. I want you to be the kind of people that has wholeness and health so that you can bless all of the other nations. But by the time Jesus came on the scene, this idea of holiness and being set apart had become distorted to where the Jews believed that they were holy and that God only loved them and that God hated everyone else. So Jesus restates the law and he says, be perfect because your heavenly Father is perfect. Now the word there in Greek is teleos, which means complete, mature, having reached its designed intention. So in other words, what Jesus is saying to them is, grow up! He looked at the Jews of his day, and he looks at us today. And he says, how could you possibly think that God would only love you? Look what he says in verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. See, God does not discriminate against people. He loves everyone. And God has not called the church to be an exclusive group who thinks that they're better than everyone else, and that God loves only them, thus giving us permission to hate people who are different than us. As people of God, we are called to love everyone, no matter who they are or what they believe. So how is your up today? How is your down? How is your out? I want to leave you with a gift today. I think the greatest example of this kind of love, of loving up and down and out, is from Martin Luther King Jr. And I want us to listen to his words right now.
Hate is too great a burden to bear.
Yes, sir.
And somehow, we must be able to stand up before our most bitter opponents and say, we shall match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We will meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, and we will still love you. We cannot in all good conscience obey your unjust laws and abide by the unjust system, because non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good, and so throw us in jail. And we will still love you. Bomb our homes and threaten our children, and as difficult as it is, we will still love you. Send your hooded perpetrators of violence into our communities at the midnight hour and drag us out on some wayside road and leave us half dead as you beat us, and we will still love you. Send your propaganda agents around the country and make it appear that we are not fit culturally and otherwise for integration, but we'll still love you. But be ye assured that we will wear you down by our capacity to suffer. And one day we will win our freedom. We will not only win freedom for ourselves,
yes,
we will so appeal to your heart and conscience that we will win you in the process. And our victory, yes, will be a double victory.
In God's kingdom, there is no up or down or out. We are all human beings in need of God's love. As followers of Jesus, we are not called to lay over and let oppressive systems keep people in bondage. We're called to extend love, the love of God, to everyone, no matter who they are or what they do. Turn the cheek. Go the second mile. Give to the beggar. And pray for those who persecute you. And by doing so, we will show the world God's perfect kingdom. Amen.